Now to the ugly. Thea and I are joined by Tim Crane, the philosophy editor of the TLS and Knightsbridge philosophy professor at Cambridge. The paper's cover piece this week is a review of three books by Ian Ground, all of which examine the underlying philosophy of ugliness. It's a subject rich with possibility and also difficulty. Ground says that ugliness is anomalous, messy, irregular, unsettling, and ultimately unsurveyable. But survey it, he does, and Ground talks about the paradox of the ugly, why we both recoil from and are strangely drawn to unsightly things. We revel in the ugly. We make it ironic. We convert it into the kitsch. The Hegelian philosopher Karl Rosenkrantz places ugliness at the midpoint between the beautiful and the comic, essentially recognising that it can give us some form of pleasure, which is necessary for someone like Kant if the ugly is ever to be placed within his sort of formal recognition of the context of aesthetics. So, Tim, big question to probably kick us off. What is the importance, and is there an importance, of ugliness to philosophy?
Well, I think it's incredibly important because it's one of our most, our most common and widespread aesthetic concepts. I mean, concepts in terms of which we understand our response to the sensory experience of the world and we evaluate things in our experience. But philosophers have kind of ignored it. And I think as Ian's review points out, I mean, some of the greatest philosophers of our culture, like Kant, for example, have faced enormous problems dealing with the phenomena surrounding ugliness.
Is it because there is this paradox and that people... Because I think the front cover of the paper this week is a giant ugly blobfish voted the ugliest animal in the world. And yet when you look at it, it's almost cute and it's sort of strangely pleasant to look at.
Yeah, I think that can't be true of all ugly things, but there is there's a complexity to ugliness. I mean, another illustration you have in the paper, I think, is a cockroach. Now, cockroaches are repellent. They're also very ugly. But how those two things are related, their disgustingness and their ugliness, is quite an interesting thing. Because if you look at a cockroach, I mean, it's got beautiful symmetry. It's got this, you know, shiny brown coloured shell thing. Which, you know, could be, you could imagine it being incorporated into some beautiful piece of clothing or an art object in someone's house. But nonetheless, a cockroach is ugly.
It's sort of ugly by association because of what we tend to associate it with, which
possibly,
is death.
Possibly. So that's one thing that needs to be brought into the picture. But the example of the blobfish looking a bit cute and the cockroach maybe looking a rather sort of symmetrical, stylish, and, you know, something. These are things where ugliness overlaps with other associations that we have, certainly.
And what about personal? I mean, the question is, can philosophy handle the idea of subjective taste? Because I might look at a blobfish and find it cute, or I might look at anything and find it cute, and you may not. And I presume one of the purposes of the philosophy of aesthetics is to try and unify why we are experiencing objects. And if we experience them completely differently, if I find something ugly that you find beautiful, does that cause a problem for a unifying philosophy of aesthetics?
I think it does. But I think we have to distinguish a number of things. So I think one thing is liking something or being drawn to it or evaluating it positively. That's a different thing from regarding something as beautiful or aesthetically excellent or a fine piece of work. So you might recognize that the music of Mahler is beautiful in a certain way, but never be drawn to it, never want to listen to it, and never like it. So I think what you like and what you judge to be beautiful are not the same things. And I think it's the same with ugliness, actually, that you can recognize that something is ugly, but you can kind of like it. That may be because of the case you mentioned, because of kitsch. People sort of ironically have some ugly object in their house. But it's also coherent to think, I recognize this thing is ugly, but I kind of like it. I'm drawn to it. I want to distinguish between the judgment that something is beautiful or ugly and whether you like it or not.
I think there's an interesting social dimension as well, isn't there, in that, well, in Ground's essay he says, the ugly is for those who are jaded or who would like to be thought so by too much beauty. So it kind of associates an appreciation of the ugly with those who are perhaps more sophisticated. It's sort of like an elite taste. And you know, that transfers to things if you think about, I don't know, someone like Alexander McQueen's armadillo shoes, which cost an absolute fortune, but then the trickle down fashion is for those who have a more bland, conventional idea of what is beautiful.
I think it's very true that ugliness and appreciation of ugliness can be a kind of decadence, a result of a kind of decadence of people who have seen too much beauty and they want to be stimulated and provoked by something.
But there's also the almost obverse of that, which is comes out, I think, which is the ethical dimension of it. There's a great line in the piece where it says, if beautiful things suggest to us that the world was made for us, ugly things remind us that the world does not exist for us alone. So, and so again, maybe it's the same point, maybe it's not the obverse, that there's that sort of sophistication, the sort of reality that is connoted by ugliness, because if I talk about prettifying things, I'm saying I'm making them false, whereas there is something, the ugly truth, the ugliness of reality kind of feels like it deliberately connotes something more real than something better looking.
Absolutely, yes, I think that's right. So I think there's another really good distinction that Ian Ground makes in his piece is between representing something as ugly, which is something an artist can do, and they can represent something as ugly, which is sort of displaying the real truth of the world, so to speak. And something's actually being ugly, which is something else. So I think recognizing the ugliness of the world is part of facing up to, as Ian says, you know, the world does not exist for us alone.
And do you think that ugliness has something to do with disorder and with chaos? Because I'm thinking of a bit when Ground's referring to Rosencrantz's essay on the aesthetics of ugliness, and he says he's talking about the crude, and he discusses flatulence, and he says how this is sort of where the ugly meets the comic, and it's this non-arbitrary thing that affects anyone, so it's common to us all, and it's this thing that kind of it blows apart any hierarchies or anything, and that's ugliness. It's when we lose the order. So the implication is that order is beautiful and chaos is somehow ugly.
I'm not sure about that myself. I think going back to the example of the cockroach, I mean, maybe that's not a very good example, but the cockroach's body there, when you see it in that picture, it's got great symmetry and order. Nonetheless, I think it's an ugly animal. Maybe that's a complicated case because the cockroach is disgusting and repulsive. And as Ian points out in his essay, those are different ideas from the ugly. The ugly needn't necessarily be disgusting.
Well, actually, it makes the point around, though something may certainly feel disgusting or repulsive, it's not natural to say that something feels ugly. So
that's right.
You might be able to look at the symmetry of a cockroach, but if you were to sort of touch it and it was slimy or dirty, is that ugliness or is that something different? So maybe we need to draw a distinction between something disgusting and repellent and something that is just not attractive.
Absolutely. So I think disgust is a very primitive human response to all sorts of things, whereas ugliness, judging something to be ugly, is not a primitive response at all. I think it's very sophisticated. I mean, disgust is sometimes thought to be one of the, you know, the basic emotional responses to the world, and is obviously associated with things like, you know, filth and things that are going to do us harm. I think what the point that Ian makes about distinguishing the disgusting from the ugly is very important. I wasn't convinced by Rosencrantz's example of flatulence, actually, just going back to what Thea said, because I wouldn't describe flatulence as ugly any more than, although it can be comic, I agree, but any more than touching something is ugly. So what really struck me reading this piece was something I'd never thought about before, is that the ugly is primarily a visual concept.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas that's not true for beautiful. We talk about beautiful music, beautiful textures, you know, and I think there's something particularly visual about the ugly, which
needs to be
investigated.
It becomes very problematic when you try to extend it to all of these other things.
I think so, yeah.
And does this matter? I mean, this is probably a good way to finish this conversation, because to a certain extent, whether or not something fits into a Kantian view of aesthetics is an interesting problem for professional philosophers.
Yeah.
But actually, how we respond to ugly things, you know, deformity or things that are misshapen, is as much an ethical issue for everybody, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. So I think it's really important to separate the question of what is ugliness, what is our concept of the ugly, which things do we regard as ugly, and is it right to do so? How should we react to the things we think of as ugly? Are some things that we think of as ugly, you know, they shouldn't be regarded as such, and they can be, as it says, so to speak, reclaimed. That's all independent of understanding what Kant said and the particular problems Kant has. I mean, I myself find Kant's conception of aesthetic pleasure really hard to understand and really bizarre. So if that was the only thing at issue, it would be of only purely historical or scholarly interest. But I think the real question is the one you're talking about, which is what role ugliness plays in our life and how we deal with things that are ugly. both ethically and practically.
And there's probably never been a lot of ugliness about these days as well, yeah. Tim Crane, it must be said. Tim Crane, thank you very much indeed for joining us. And we're talking about ugliness, the value of ugliness. It's the cover piece in the TLS this week. And as I say, staring at you when you look at the TLS this week is a picture of a drooling blobfish, which you might find to be ugly. But in the end, having stared at it all week, I find it to be rather cute.
I'm going to love it, yeah.
Tim, thanks very much.
Thanks very much.